Good morning. So last week we read chapter 9 with Russell, and we talked about the race that Paul was ending his chapter in. And the race that he's talking about, we need to be able to equip ourselves to the best capability in order to reach the rest of the world. And sometimes that takes putting aside our own personal differences or habits, or even cultural things. So I'm going to read the chapter, and then we'll get to flip over a page. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal, and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try and please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. So we look towards the beginning of the chapter, and Paul puts in front of us Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, and they went through this whole process, going through the desert, being delivered from Egypt, and given free food. And what they decide to do with their time, rather than praising God, is prioritize getting up and playing and getting up and living for their own enjoyment, living for their own benefit. And we might have struggles with that ourselves personally without realizing it or whatnot, but we can't put other things in the place of God, because we as humans we're made to worship, or we're wired that way. God created us to worship him, and now that the world's broken, we can choose to worship whatever we want, and that whatever we choose to worship, if it's not God, then it won't satisfy us. It doesn't lead to anything good, and God is just, and he has to judge us based off of that. But we have the billboard out front that says you can't get enough of what won't satisfy you, and that's very true. And the people in Israel, they were getting up every single day, again and again and again, repeating this process. And I doubt that they had much contentment with that. And they tested God, and they tested God and were killed by snakes, and they grumbled. They complained about the free food they were getting after being delivered from the desert, and their priority was set on themselves. It wasn't set on God. And because they were worshiping something other than God, God had to take care of it. And so we can't... God provides ways out of temptation. He provides a way, and he supports us. And when we sin, it's of our own doing. And if we put things in the place of God, that's on us. Because he provides a way out. He does. And that way is Jesus. We know that now. So we can't become arrogant. We can't rely on ourselves, because we'll stumble. If we aren't standing on firm ground, we sing the song, Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And without a firm foundation, we will fall. And it's tough, because so many people that I've known personally either have fallen or are in a state where they're putting other things in God's place, and it's tough to see. So we look further, and he talks about idolatry, and we already talked about how idolatry is putting something in the place of God. And we think about that when we think back and we see, you know, altars of wood or stone, or we think of a statue that we bring food to and to sacrifice, and we don't have that. These days, we don't have statues that we go to, but we do have all kinds of things that we worship, and it takes our time, it takes our effort, it takes our money, and it might be more subtle than it is in the Bible, but it's there. Cliques and clubs and groups, even subscriptions. I have a subscription to Netflix and Hulu, and there's some unhealthy days that I've had where that was the focus of my day. Just sit back, relax, set the TV to go, and it can feel nice for a little while. Some things are good in small portions, but it's not good to sit and watch the TV for 6 hours in a day. And it's tough to admit that I've done that, but it happens. So some examples of this, and I've had, even though we have differences with other people in the church, I'm kind of changing gears a little bit here. We go down to through the sacrifices and idols, and we start to get to, I have the right to do anything, but it's not beneficial or it's not constructive. And I have the right to watch Netflix or Hulu, and I have the right to play board games, and I can drink alcohol, or like things within in proportion. But as soon as that starts to affect my walk, is it really being beneficial? Is it really being constructive? And so even though we're free from the law in many things, and I can wear a shirt without, oh, I'm sorry, I hit the mic. I can wear a shirt without a tie. And some people will see that and say he's not worshiping God because he's not dressing up for the occasion. And depending on what church or background you come from, like for example, many people who are Mormon, they believe that drinking coffee is like a sin because it's a drug, it's something that you get addicted to. And I drink coffee. I don't know if any of you do. I think we do because we have coffee downstairs every week, but to some people, that's destructive. to some people, they see that and they see it as a temptation or a way that they might struggle and stumble in that. And so we look at this example of eating anything in the meat market. And I have a personal experience that relates to that, but there's many things outside of just meat that we disagree with other people. But the example I have, I've been a camp counselor at Washington for 6 years, about. And this past year, there's a junior camper. I won't put him by name, but him and his family, they're vegetarian. And he was starting to like talk to the other kids, like, hey, like vegetarianism is the way to go, and like this is the way you do it, and like it's the only way. And so I decided to inform him on the Bible. And I, even though I was right, even though I went to the Bible and I found a verse that relates to it, I didn't go about it the right way. So I went to Romans chapter 14, and I just read verse 2 to him. And that was like kind of a jab rather than trying to build him up or be constructive. And verse 2 reads, "One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables." So my capability to minister to that camper got severely diminished. And we might not realize that, but if we talk to a random stranger who has no experience with the Bible, and they have this conviction, whether it be I'm vegetarian, or I don't like use anything with natural gas, or I get things from like reliable sources. I ran out of quick examples for that. But even if we are right with Scripture, if we push it too far and we're rude about it, we can damage the capability of somebody receiving the gospel from us. And one example that I have a family friend, and when he was in high school, Dungeons and Dragons was a huge thing. And so he asked his mom, hey, can I get Dungeons and Dragons? And his mom was part of the church, and she heard that Dungeons and Dragons was like satanic. And so she decided, okay, I'm going to buy the handbook. And she read through it. She flipped through every single page, read every single thing. And it's a pretty big book, so it'll take you quite a few hours to get through. And by the time she got through the index, she's like, there's nothing about worshiping Satan here. So the story behind that is, It's a board game. You have somebody be the narrator, and then there's other people in it, and it can be used for multiple purposes. But the point is, you kill monsters and you have a fun time as a group. And people decided to use that board game as a mode to worship Satan instead of just killing monsters. And so even though we're free to play board games, they used it in the wrong application. And now everybody out in the, because it happened mostly in the West, that's where that group was, and everybody around there, reasonably so, is like, this is associated with Satanism, and they started to lock down on it. But even though we have the freedom to play a board game, like I play Dungeons and Dragons, I'm not going to force it to somebody that thinks or associates it with Satan, because it's going to hurt their walk. So even if we are right, we can't push too hard on certain subjects. And sometimes that's hard because we want to bicker about the little things. We want to be right. I'm one of those people who likes to debate. I love being right. I think we all like being right. And that's a flaw and a good thing, because it helps me to study and research, and I find answers for myself. Sometimes I prove that I'm wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things, but it can push people away. And some of the hardest experiences that I've had in life is when I push people too far, and there's no way that I can recover that. And I had a friend when I was in high school. He was struggling with something personally, and whenever he asked me about that subject, I was very, very blunt. And now nobody has the chance to reach out to him anymore, because He passed away. And so I'm always going to hold that as a piece of regret. And I pushed really, really hard against what he was struggling with, even though I didn't know he was directly struggling with it. So we have to be careful about what we say and who we say it to, because somebody could be struggling with something. And when Paul talks about but if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience, their conscience. If someone asks you, it might be something very subtle that touches the subject, and they're asking to see what you do. And we as Christians are supposed to be a living example. And if that's something that they're like trying to watch out for, to see what you do, it might not be a good idea to touch that subject, or it might not be a good idea to just be like, yeah, I'm going to eat meat right in front of you. So there's different things that different people struggle with, even if it's not as obvious. And he comes closer to the closing of the chapter, and he talks about, if I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? We often see a lot of the benefits of coming together as, like, we have these freedoms, and now we can use them, and we sometimes can get upset if we get closed down. Like, if, for example, this church was very, like, Dungeons and Dragons is satanic, I probably wouldn't play it at all, because I love you guys. And, like, it would be a little tough, and some people get grumpy about it. Some people are, why can't I do this for me? And that circles back to the people in the desert were prioritizing themselves. And part of bringing that gospel, the gospel of Christ, to other people is, not only are we going to be persecuted and struggle physically, like we're going to have to move around and like we might get tortured like Paul did or killed, but we also have to sacrifice some of ourselves culturally. And that's true for almost anybody. There's some things I don't talk to my wife about because she doesn't agree with me, and that's okay. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anybody to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We have to put ourselves aside. We can't get up and play every day. There's business to do, and there's a calling at hand. And I'd love to sit down and watch Netflix for a few hours, but if that gets in the way of any type of ministry that I could give to somebody, might not be the best idea. And so we're called to have a clear judgment on how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our effort, and we can't be making ourselves our idols. We're not perfect. And there's card games that I play or board games that I play, and over the past year, I've spent like $3,000 on different games. And that's a lot of money, especially considering it's not in budget. So we have to watch our own behavior, whether it's expenses or effort, or just, you could worship something without having to put that much effort or time or money into, but if it takes the priority away from God, if it takes the priority away from the ministry that God calls us to, it's not constructive and it's not beneficial.